green, and red. The colors of Christmas. I think we can safely add to them white and gold. Have you ever wondered why these colors represent the season? It turns out that the inquiring world wants to know. A quick Google search yielded many repetitions of the same answers, but never really a discussion of their origin. Some say that the origins of the colors, green and red, for Christmas are pagan, and others say that they are uniquely Christian. But the truth is something of both. The most common explanation is that green represents the life of Christ, and that red represents his blood shed. This simplistic explanation is helpful. Christmas is the time we rejoice at his birth, who brings life immortal to all who believe on his name. Jesus is the true evergreen, a shoot from Jesse's stump, the rose ere blooming. Jesus is the royal branch of David, and his cross is the tree of life. All who are grafted into Jesus receive this life, just as a branch is grafted onto a good tree. This time of Christmas is full of signs of life, despite the season being one of death. The mistletoe is hung, and a kiss is given among friends as a sign of goodwill and friendship. Wasn't really a romantic thing. In England, the rhyme is said, "The mistletoe bough at our Christmas board shall hang to honor the Christ, the Lord, for he is the evergreen tree of life." I don't think I've ever heard that actually sung under the mistletoe. He is the evergreen tree of life. Along with the mistletoe is green ivy that perhaps, as it crawls on the side of a building, frail humanity clinging unto the rock that is Christ. Some of the oldest decorations, though, for Christmastide are the laurel or bay leaf, the ancient symbol of triumph. Early Christians in Rome decorated their homes with it to celebrate Christ's nativity. From laurel wreaths came the use of evergreen wreaths that you see around here, even to this day, to proclaim Christ as victor over sin and death. But another interesting and often forgotten Christmas plant is the rosemary. Legend has it, this is where it got its name, that while the Holy Family fled to Egypt, Mary had to wash Jesus' swaddling clothes, and she hung them out in the sun to dry on a rosemary bush. Since that time, legend has it, the rosemary has delighted mankind with its delicate fragrance of Christ's life. But the two, probably for us, most traditional plants for Christmas time are the poinsettia, which we see here, and the holly, which we had on our entrance. The poinsettia was named for Dr. Joel Roberts Poinsett, who was our ambassador to Mexico. After a visit in 1829, he returned with this plant to his home in South Carolina, where it flourished. But its use for Christmastide predates Dr. Poinsett. In Mexico, it's called the flower of Holy Night, for it blooms at Christmastime. And its brilliant red stars are said to resemble the Star of Bethlehem. But of all these various green and red plants, the holly has the strongest symbolism. One of the little delights that I take in our parish is passing between those two holly bushes on the way into our narthex each day. Early Christians throughout Northern Europe saw this plant as to represent the burning bush of Moses, or perhaps the flaming love that God had and filled Mary's heart. But even more so, I think its significance for Christmastide is its prickly points that remind us that the divine child was born to wear a crown of thorns. And from those temple points appeared little droplets of blood, like the berries. both green and red. Most of the season of Christmas is spent rejoicing in the green part, the life of the Christ child, as he was born into the world. We stand in awe of the sweet child in the manger, the green. But we forget about how he was born, not to live, but to die for us, the red. He came to set his people free from sin and devil, to redeem them from the pits of hell and death. The Holy Spirit has given us clues to see this truth. As we look upon Christ in the manger, laid upon wood, we will see him again in his crucified body laid upon the wooden cross. As Jesus lays in the manger for feeding animals, so he comes to feed us with his own body and blood. Every happy Christmas celebration stands with the source of joy that is Christ's passion and death. That's why we spent the last 3 days observing the feasts of the first martyr, Stephen, of the evangelist John, and now of the holy Innocents. Suffering and persecution accompany the arrival of Christ into the world, red with the green. A short time after his birth, the wicked Herod is out for his blood to slay the newborn king of the Jews. Simeon will say on Sunday in our gospel that the child was appointed for a sign that is to be opposed. As we celebrated last year, Christ Jesus already begins to shed his blood for you just 8 days after his birth, when he fulfills the covenant of circumcision. This theme of red, flowing blood, will continue and even swell until it reaches a river of blood flowing from Christ's hands and feet and side on Good Friday. The festival half of the church year is bloody business, just as the life of the church has been since innocent Abel shed his blood upon the ground and died. And now today we remember a handful or more of young boys, faithful believers in the promise of Christ, heirs of the promise, whose life are taken to spare Christ of death until his hour has come. The sting of death of a child is often too bitter to taste, even these who died 2,000 years ago. We still are reeling in shock from the slaughter of those at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. Like those parents, family, friends, Rachel is weeping for her children in Bethlehem. The blood of the holy innocents cries out to us and tells us to listen to Jesus. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." These little boys bore their little crosses already for the sake of Christ, and thus they have found life in him. Maybe we want our noble martyrs and valiant Christian heroes, and so instead today our want is to mourn and grieve the death of those children. But the psalmist cried out in the Alleluia verse, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." We are to rejoice today. It is true, yet we are horrified at the lives lost. And yet, thus says the Lord, "Keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is reward for your work, and they shall come back from the land of your enemy. There is hope for your future, and your children shall come back to their own country." Christ our Lord is promising that this is not the end for those little children, but they will enter into the promised land. They will be numbered among those at the throne of God on Mount Zion. It's one of my favorite parts of Sweet Flowerets of the Martyr Band, is that second stanza, where it says, "First victims for the incarnate Lord, a tender flock to feel the sword." And then the vision of heaven. "Beside the altar's ruddy ray, with palm and crowned, you seem to play." That vision of children in heaven sitting around the throne with their little crowns and palms, playing before the Lamb. It's beautiful. Those infant boys lost their life that had been granted to them by their earthly mother, but they received the life, the eternal blessed life of their mother, the church. Their death is precious to the Lord because they've been received into his glory, the first fruits of the birth of Christ. What Herod meant for evil, the infant Christ meant for good. Herod intended to slaughter the king and instead became Christ's own devil to welcome home infant saints to God. The king will die under another Herod, and his blood too will be shed. But these holy innocents already enjoy the freedom of the gospel through the future shed blood of Christ. His red blood will bring forth vibrant green life for both them and for us. We love the green of Christ's life to grow amongst us this Christmastide. But let us not forget that this life springs forth from the red of Christ's blood, even as we today observe the blood of the innocents. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.